Good afternoon. You're listening to KTOO. I'm Yvonne Crumery. Thanks for listening. The Juneau School District is facing a nearly $8 million budget deficit for the current school year. District leaders are considering closing or rearranging schools and cutting staff in order to balance the budget. As KTOO's Katie Anastas reports, the district got feedback on initial ideas at community input sessions during the last week.
Teachers, parents, and students gathered in Juneau school libraries to share their thoughts on potential school reconfiguration ideas. District leaders have shared a variety of ways they could reorganize schools. One is to combine the two high schools into one. Thunder Mountain High School swim coach Josiah Losby worried that it would limit the amount of space on high school sports teams. He says sports are a reason many kids keep their grades up.
I think there's going to be a drastic reduction in the graduation rate, a drastic reduction in student performance overall, if this is, one of the options that we move forward with is consolidating the high schools.
Students were also worried about combining the high schools. Thunder Mountain senior Jade Hicks attended Tuesday's input session. She says students like having multiple high school options.
There's a reason people choose their own respective schools. Like, I chose Thunder Mountain because I wanted to learn Russian.
The district estimates that closing a high school could save more than $1 million through staff cuts alone. That's because the district wouldn't need two sets of high school principals, nurses, librarians, and office staff. Superintendent Frank Hauser says they'd also save on utilities, custodial, and maintenance costs, though exact savings would vary depending on the school.
Thunder Mountain is a more modern building that has more, energy saving features, but yet it's a smaller footprint, and so it's going to have less of, let's say, utilities cost. But at the same time, from a size and space, JD, is going to be able to have more capacity for students, but has a little bit different costing for property insurance.
School board member Emil Mackey says if they didn't close a high school, the district might have to offer fewer electives at the two instead.
In a way, consolidating the schools, I believe, will actually preserve more student activities and more electives because you'll have more people under a common roof to actually provide those services.
Another idea is to change how elementary grades are split. Right now, elementary schools are kindergarten through fifth grade. The district is considering moving sixth grade to elementary and then dividing schools into kindergarten through third grade schools and fourth through sixth grade schools. Hauser says savings would come from distributing students more evenly among classrooms.
Essentially, there's only three schools that have second graders versus six schools. Like I said, you have more opportunity to get that ideal number across more teachers in those three schools versus spread out between six schools.
But the elementary split idea worries many teachers, including Jana Rose Odenheimer, a special education teacher at Saik Gastineau Community School.
The people that are going to get hurt the worst are the lower socioeconomic students and families. Within our district, absenteeism will go up because how is my sixth grader and fifth grader going to be bringing my kindergartner and first grader to school?
The following night, Saik Gastineau paraeducator Rosemary Slotnick said having siblings attend the same school helps build relationships with families.
In a neighborhood school, the school knows and supports the whole family. If a second grader is struggling, we can check in with the fourth grade teacher of an older sibling and see if we are there seeing what we see. We know which family needs extra support.
Hauser says enrollment projections are a key piece to estimating the full savings for the different options, since school size affects state funding. The district is still waiting on demographic projections for next year. In the meantime, the district is asking the Juneau Assembly to cover nearly $4 million in maintenance, utilities, and property insurance costs. In Juneau, I'm Katie Anastas.
The Assembly Finance Committee will discuss the request at a meeting tonight at 5:30. The meeting is open to the public at City Hall or on Zoom. And for the second summer in a row, ferry trips across the Gulf of Alaska likely won't happen. The Alaska Marine Highway System is cutting back summer service based on its schedule released last month. As KMXT's Davis Hovey reports, staffing issues and overdue maintenance are making reliable service unpredictable for dozens of communities.
Some key routes will be scaled back this summer and potentially even cut altogether, including the usual sailings across the Gulf of Alaska. Typically, the MV Kennicott connects the regions of South Central and Southeast with sailings across the Gulf of Alaska. It has also serviced Kodiak Island in the past. But this summer, the mainline service from Bellingham, Washington to Whittier won't happen, and it's unlikely the cross-Gulf community of Yakutat will see a ferry at all. Sam Dapsovich is a spokesperson for the Alaska Marine Highway System, or AMHS, under the Department of Transportation. He says this summer's schedule is similar to last year's, with the Kennicott potentially being out of service from May to the end of September.
Right now, the schedule that's out is the same. The Kennicott is not on the schedule, but we are seeing a bump in recruitment, and we're hopeful that we might be able to get the Kennicott back onto the summer schedule this year, if that trend holds.
The Kennicott is an ocean-going vessel, which means some crew members need to have higher levels of certification in order to work on the ferry, making it harder to find qualified employees. Dapsovich says that if the department can fully staff the Kennicott by May, then the cross-Gulf of Alaska route sailings could happen. Hope then turns to the Tustamina, or the Trusty Tusty, as it is affectionately known by many Alaskans. Kodiak Island's flagship ferry is in its 60th year of service, basically double its life expectancy. As such, talk of replacing the Tustamina has been underway for years. Dapsovich says as of this week, the project has not gone out for bid. Despite its age and frequent need for repairs, the Tustamina is scheduled to sail its usual Kodiak Island route this summer, including stops in Old Harbor once a month starting in June. Michael Queen is the chief purser on board the Tustamina. During a recent trip from Homer to Kodiak, he told KMXD how critical the Alaska Marine Highway System is for coastal residents.
I live on an island, you know, and we deserve highways every bit as much as the person who gets into their car and drives from Anchorage to Palmer.
But coastal Alaskans have less reliable transportation right now, with four ferries currently out of water, leaving only five vessels still in service. The MV Columbia is laid up in the shipyard for annual overhaul work after resuming service in Southeast last spring. AMHS expects the Columbia to return to service in May in time to do the summer sailings from Bellingham to Juneau. One of the fleet's oldest ferries, the Matanuska, is also unlikely to sail at all this summer. Dapsovich says the Matanuska, which normally sails into Prince Rupert, British Columbia, is still undergoing major work on its hull. I'm Davis Hovey.
And for the first episode of a KTOO project called Tongass Voices, Perspectives from the Homelands of the Occoquan and Beyond, Marilyn Lumba. Marilyn Lumba is the director of nursing at the Juneau Pioneer Home and an assistant professor of nursing at the University of Alaska Southeast. She began working at the Pioneer Home in 2010, just 3 months after migrating to Juneau from Tagum City, Mindanao. And while she loves her career now, she didn't think healthcare would become her passion.
Our facility consists of four neighborhoods. So we have like Twin Lakes Lodge. We have 10 residents in here. I always like think, okay, what will be the best for the resident? If this is my grandpa, what am I going to do for them to be happy? If you observe, we don't have uniform because this is a home. In your home, you wear uniform, right? So we wanted the resident to feel that this is their home. So we have cats. We have two cats. It depends on the color. If it is ginger, of course, it's like ginger colored. And smoky is like smoky colored. And we have birds. Before, we even have fish also. Actually, I wanted to be an accountant. A CPA, a certified public accountant. But my best friend wanted to be a nurse. And I said, okay, let's just be a nurse together. Because we wanted to go together to the same school and all that. And so I just completed it because my mom doesn't want me to stop. I started working here in GPH in 2010 as an assisted living aide. And I moved in here because my husband is here. Like, he petitioned me, and then so together with my daughter. And then I become an assistant professor because, like, in 2019. I made the right choice in staying as a nurse because being a nurse is not just, you know, not just, like, you know how they always said passing meds? Like, in elderly people, like here in a long-term care facility, they said, oh, you just pass. No, like, being here and being, like, a leader, like, there's a lot. Like, you have a big impact on this resident. You, like, we call them resident. We don't call them patient. Like, you have, you become their family, and you wanted, like, for me, because it becomes my passion, like, I wanted them to be, like, successful in what they wanted, like, the quality of life that they deserve.
That was Marilyn Lumba, Director of Nursing at the Juneau Pioneer Home, for this week's Tongass Voices. And this is KTOO.